trying to murder me.
Come on, if you know the words, let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture. Bitch.
Here I go.
Oh. Read about that in the New York fucking Post.
Well, hello there.
Hello, hello. What's going on?
Oh my god, girl. We are recording this in reverse order today. We'll be doing part two recording after this. But if you guys are listening, you will have just listened to part two.
Yeah.
We're now in the leftover section of our
finale
Avatar coverage.
Absolutely. Welcome to the final frontier of Pandora, as James Cameron would have you believe. More like the midway point of a epic masterpiece saga that is going to redefine cinema and live action, CGI, rendering, mocap, motion capture, CGI, animation for decades to come.
Allegedly, yes.
He's done it again, guys.
So instead of going through like the news that we've been doing before, that's much more about the like production, the money, the effects, everything involved with it at a bit more of a serious critical level, I think today it's time to look at some of the fandom sites.
Yeah,
some
you've of the weirdos found some fan sites to laugh at from what I can tell.
Absolutely. I do want to go
Matt
through
says,
it.
We're going to bully.
Yeah, a little bit. We're just going to, I just have some questions. The first link I want you to open, Joan, is the one about Na'vi mating from the official James Cameron avatar.fandom.com. Not to be confused with avatar.fandom.com, because Avatar Last Airbender obviously reigns supreme.
Yes.
But we were talking about this all the time after watching the second movie, especially where it's like, how did the Na'vi have sex? How are they mating? How is Kiri or Jiri, whatever her name is, Sigourney Weaver being reborn? It's all very confusing. And I was asking this question on our Discord, and someone linked us to the Avatar wiki page that is, I guess, mostly sourced from the quote-unquote James Cameron's unofficial guide that was sold in Polly Barnes & Noble's back in 2010 that actually did like a breakdown of the lore from James Cameron's unpublished manuscripts. So I want you to read for me on this page. Honestly, basically most of it. I want you to, I want to get your reaction. I want to get your thoughts.
Okay, so we start out with heterosexuality.
Because there's a lot going on here.
So we start out with heterosexuality, in case you guys forgot. This is suburban America. So this is the ideal, this is James Cameron's platonic ideal, return to tradition, 1950s America.
Absolutely.
But on a planet called Pandora with blue people. Okay. Na'vi are monogamous creatures who they mate for life. The mechanics of their reproduction are similar to that of humans and other Terran mammals. However, their unique physiology creates an experiment fundamentally different from that of humans. Traditionally, once a young Na'vi has passed their clan's rite of passage and are accepted as an adult, remember, you have to be an adult to have sex, and
it has to
be approved by the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
They are allowed to choose a mate. So again, this is all sanctioned by custom.
The royal family.
Though it is typical for the male Na'vi to choose a female mate, of course, and vice versa, same-sex pairings are not uncommon and do not appear to be stigmatized by the Na'vi culture. Now, there is a citation for that, and yes. I would like
from
to
Pandorapedia, which I can click through here, which I don't know what exactly this is. It feels like it's somewhat official, but not official, but it's basically another whole wiki site. That's
well, no, this is avatar.com.
This oh, you're right. This is avatar.com. I'm
Avatar.
So sorry.
So they just link to Pandorapedia, but they don't link to the specific gay avatar. Okay, wait. Can you?
Yeah,
look
I don't know where they find that info gay from specifically.
Na'vi.
Is there a search field?
No, I just want to see. Okay, wait. Forum.learnnavi.org. Or can Na'vi be gay? James Cameron, avatar.fandom. This is the question. Can Na'vi be homosexual? Can a Na'vi man choose another man to mate under AWA, or could a Na'vi woman choose another woman? So, they link to Pandorapedia. Na'vi males are typically pair-bonded with females, but male-male and female-female permit bonds are not uncommon.
See, that's all it says. It's just like, it's not uncommon. They say it once somewhere, and that's all we have.
But okay, so again, the Pandorapedia got moved, it seems like.
Yeah, because like
some of these links are broken. Okay, but
you can explore by category, but then it's usually by like character and then clans. You don't get like general.
I love this answer.
Generalities.
What? I think we're living in two completely different dimensions. Okay, But this is from 2010. Okay, so remember that. Because this is some 2010. Okay, there's a photo bucket in someone's signature. A photo bucket signature.
Wait, where are you
seeing this? Like a broken photo bucket link.
Oh, okay. Lord mercy.
Well, since homosexuality is common in all species here on Earth, why not Pandora? What do you guys think? Okay. Here's what Coyote, who was nominated Navi of the Week. Quote, I think the question is not whether Navi can be gay, but more, how would Navi society accept it? Oh, boy. Oh.
Wait, what?
Whoa. Okay. Wow.
They're really freaking on these forums.
So some Native American and African tribal cultures.
Oh, okay, here we go. That
thought
was
that people were, quote, magical and could, quote, confuse the spirits that might intend to do them harm. Of course, other cultures found it abhorrent. So there you go. As it stands, if they accepted Jake into an accepted grace, they seem somewhat open-minded. They had female hunters. Okay. Neytiri was a hunter and warrior both, so our traditional gender roles and perceptions don't apply, except men choose the women and the women raise the children. Okay.
I mean, I have
no problem with it so long as the person hauls in their fair share of yummy meat.
As long as they bring home the bacon.
Now,
who's the man, who's the woman in this same-sex relationship? I feel like that's the kind of questions they're asking here. Because okay, my God.
I love
how you're immediately in the trenches of the Avatar forms.
In the Project 880 script, which I realize isn't really canon, wasn't Grace in a relationship with a female Na'vi? Someone then says, so Grace is the scientist who lives in the big Earth planet consciousness now? Yes. They said, well, it isn't canon. It is true that it shows Cameron has thought about it and probably cut it because of time constraints.
Oh, that's my favorite, which we'll get to later, favorite thing that fans of the Avatar movies love to say when criticized about anything in the films.
Yeah. So it seems that everyone's divided on whether they can be gay or not. Okay. But there's no official source.
No. Literally one thing was said one time somewhere, and that's all we have.
And it felt very much like we have to say this because people are going to get mad at us. Okay.
So yes, back to choosing a mate.
The process of selecting a mate can be many years, though arranged marriages also occur in Na'vi culture, such as between the future, they're Na'vi names, I'm not going to say. After an appropriate mate has been selected, the couple will mate before AWA. So again, you can only have
sex. Is AWA in the room with you, or?
You can only have sex when God is watching.
Exactly. Is there somebody you forgot to ask?
Leave room for AWA. Now, often at a sacred site, okay, so you can only have sex in church, such as the Tree of Voices. During the mating, the couple will connect cues in an act called Na'vi word we're not going to say. This creates a state of unified body consciousness in which both parties access the physical sensation of the other. A single instance of this act will create a powerful emotional bond that lasts a lifetime. This is written by a guy who's never actually made a woman come ever in his life. He's like, I actually need to connect my prefrontal cortex to yours just to actually be able to make you come.
It's
okay.
It gets worse.
The intertwining of cues is both highly erotic and profoundly spiritual.
You wouldn't know that from the film because it's the last thing is erotic.
Not the actual act of sexual reproduction. Okay. The bond between Na'vi during mating should also not be confused with the non-erotic bonds Na'vi make with animals and plants, like the mental reining that Na'vi use to control animals or use the cue to access the Pandoran neural network. The couple will remain bonded until the next day when they return to their clan as lifelong mates. If Na'vi mates leave them or passes away, it is unknown whether the partner can or will choose another mate. Sexual activity outside of the bonded pairs is not uncommon, but it is almost always associated with fertility rituals and has never been reported to lead to a disruption of the pair bond.
No source on that one. Love the interpretation. Wait, we're going for there.
So it doesn't actually say how they have sex.
That's what I'm confused about.
So, because it's like, this is not actual fertility. This is just like mating so they don't have sex.
They said sexual reproduction is different than mating, but isn't, so the mating is not this to is have
just,
children.
This is just how you have to write about Christian sex when Disney's watching.
No, because
you know the when minion, I rewatched the first you know the movie, minion that towers over the valley in Los Angeles.
That's who's watching.
That's Mickey Mouse. And he's looking into James Cameron's window, making sure he doesn't have horny thoughts about boob people.
Because in the first movie, and again, I watched the extended edition just to make sure I didn't miss a thing. The sex scene was like them just kind of naked, kind of close to each other, and then the hair braids, and then it's like swirling cameras and lights, and then it's like then just visuals of neural pathways. Like, there's nothing erotic about it. They're just kind of like,
didn't even slip her the finger.
It's like no movement, no grinding, but is no. There- kissing even, or maybe there was, but it was very quick.
So if,
what is this hand motion you're doing?
I'm just trying to think about like how big the Na'vi finger is.
Well, it's like twice the size of our own hand because they're 10 feet tall.
Na'vi have anal?
We don't even know how they shit. Maybe I should look that up first.
You know what? They do kind of walk around without clothes on, right?
Well, they wear like just a little towel kind of thing.
Just like a,
just a little cloth.
This is me, my slutty little loincloth. pussy flapping in the wind, mother. James Cameron, tell us if they have, if there's dicks and balls and vaginas, or if it's like a tentacle. Is it like an orifice that opens and like another thing comes out? Like what? Well,
funny enough, this isn't apparently official. Apparently, this is fan-made, but I was also going to ask you about the Reddit page.
I don't want to see
because
this.
There are people who spend a lot of time and money, I assume, to make anatomically accurate schematics of what Na'vi would look like. And in this one that's made by a fan that I think is
this just the Reddit that you link? Or is
it's just the Reddit, but it's the top post on there right now.
Oh.
I do love that they gave a smaller dick to the Na'vi in this, which is funny because, like, proportionally speaking, they're also, like, 4 feet taller.
I do absolute love aesthetic. That they have, wow, interesting. Wait, no, it says Weta Workshop on it.
Oh, do you know what that is?
Matt, Weta Workshop is the people who do the CGI.
Oh my god, you're totally right. You're totally right.
Wait.
But people in the comments were saying this is not official. This is just concept art and not canon.
Let me look. Well, because it's Weta, so I'm just curious.
Okay, yeah, like, wouldn't it be the ones who
where is
it?
The search?
I mean, their smaller dicks would explain why we can't see anything in that movie.
Why isn't there?
Because we did figure out that they didn't do that on purpose because of the extra cost it would be to animate genitalia.
Can you imagine use images desktop picture? Okay, wait, why isn't it allowing me to like search via Google image?
She's not letting you
function. I know, I just need to know, I need to know if this is something that is real or not, like what's the source on this, because you know these Reddit girls don't
be posting sources.
The link. Okay, wait. Excuse me, sir.
What?
I'm just angry at like everyone right now.
So regardless of the Avatar Wiki stuff, if you can find something, let me know. What I want to talk about was the community resources tab that you click that brings you to kalutral.org, which is basically a program or organization that's about teaching the Na'vi language from, as they always quote it, James Cameron's Avatar. So if you go on their website, I'll just read this intro here. Welcome to Kalutral. I'm not going to try to actually speak the Na'vi they have littered throughout this page, but it says, welcome to Kalutral.org.
No, this isn't real.
And that's what I thought. An all-inclusive place to learn the Na'vi language and meet other fans of James Cameron's Avatar. We are glad to see you here. Kalutral means home tree in Na'vi, and that's exactly what we want at Kalutral.org, to be a living, growing home for James Cameron's Avatar community, where fans of all stripes can make lifelong friends. The most common question fans ask us is how to learn Na'vi, and we put together this welcome guide on how to get started. There's obviously Discord, which I did join. Can't say there's much going on there because people are literally trying to speak Na'vi throughout the entire Discord.
I do. Can I just say something? Our Avatar one. Okay, I need to know what's happening here. Okay. I need you to go on our Marvel really quick.
Oh, Lord.
Just for me, please. Okay. Our Marvel.
Yes. Or our Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How on just an average post there, can you tell me how many comments they get?
Let's see. 300, 300, 6, 5 comments, 80, 540. I guess it depends on the post here, but yeah, mostly in the few, multiple hundreds at least.
Okay. Our avatar, average count, one comment, 10 comments, 4 comments. The engagement on the avatar wiki, people are not...
And this is peak. This is like peak right now.
People are not going up for it.
Well, also you can see that 4,500 people are currently online out of the 3 million followers on our Marvel Studios, while currently on the Avatar page, it's about 1,000. And there's only about 65,000 people who have followed the page.
Like, that's pretty crazy if you think about it.
For like a movie that's in the $2 billion mark, it's actually kind of crazy.
That there's not a single person... like moved. But that's kind of what we're saying, is like it's all spectacle but not a lot of substance, and yeah, people aren't really like, it's the kind of cultural phenomenon of like, no one could really tell you what the plot of the first Avatar movie was, even though it was like the largest movie in the world. You could ask 10 people and maybe like 4 of them would say at one point they had sex with a tentacle on their head. Like, that was like the takeaway.
And they couldn't tell you who any of the actors are by name.
Couldn't tell you a single actor,
god forbid, anything but the word James Cameron. Couldn't
tell you any of the characters' names. Neytiri, like, who? I just read Grace, who's like a pivotal character to the plot.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, Grace? Who's Grace?
Sigourney Weaver's character.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's just, it's interesting that that's such low engagement. Okay, so we have the learning avatar.
Kaluchal.org.
What is post-avatar depression syndrome? I'm seeing that.
So I wanted to bring this up because I was going on to the Avatar, official Avatar Discord.
Of course.
And sorry, it's already like a super chat meme. Sorry. Anyway, something about Puss in Boots. But... so when I was brought over to the cultural page, obviously I was reading all about the like USC professor that like created the language and like how the Na'vi and how people are learning languages. And it reminded me of that episode of How To with John Wilson, where he goes to one of those Avatar fandom meetups in like Utah, yes, or somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And
no, I think it's in New York, Queen.
Oh, you know what?
It literally is in a New York high rise.
But there's not. Are you sure?
Like in a rented office.
Well, there was like 15 people there. Yeah, anyway. No, it was a small gathering. It's fully in New York. And it was just regular people getting together.
It's fully in New York.
But anyway, I remember it being very much like, oh, you know what? That was the Mandela Effect convention, yes, that he went to. Also a great episode. Anyway, but I remember him going to the Avatar fandom thing, and I remember at the time going, oh my god, Avatar is a movie that exists. We forgot about it. This is around 2020, I think, or 2021 when this episode came out.
It was 2020.
Yeah. And this fandom met up in person, and their whole thing is not only learning the language, but talking about the film and talking about their experiences seeing it and whatever, what have you.
Yeah.
And obviously, when he talks about that, he kind of covers the amount of people who have like kind of unified under this fandom. And I think this is true just with all fandoms, as we kind of know nowadays, especially. Yeah. A space for people to gather who have like that common interest, but mostly are just kind of need an excuse to hang out and be good with each other.
Absolutely.
I think the How To episode was really nice in that it made fun of them a little bit and how weird it is, but it was very much like, these are just real people who are finding real connections in this way. But it brought up that whole kind of phenomenon that I remember happening right when the first movie came out, called post-Avatar depression syndrome. And obviously, since the new movie came out, people are bringing up more and more articles about it. So I found this one from The Guardian that had a pretty good summary of like what had happened back in 2009 when this first started coming about, this phrase. So again, getting this from The Guardian, this came out right when the movie premiered in December. Just general content warning for this article about self-harm, suicide ideation, depression. Yeah. It will get to that a little bit. But yeah, article starts with basically right when Avatar came out in 2009, there was a fan site called Avatar Forums where some people started posting kind of similar feelings after seeing the film, which was basically this kind of longing or depression or like dissociation that felt kind of induced after being in this like hyper real, hyper overwhelming like environment while watching Avatar. And in the kind of post that went really viral and had many, many, many comments at the time, writes, quote, "Ever since I went to see Avatar, I have been depressed. Watching the wonderful world of Pandora and all the Na'vi made me want to be one of them. I even contemplated suicide, thinking that if I do, I will be rebirthed in a world similar to Pandora and everything is the same as an Avatar." Many people obviously replied that, you know, they feel like humanity's going south, the world is ending. Like, this film kind of made them depressed because it made them realize that we're on a path towards destruction. There's really thousands of replies to this post back in 2010. People talking about, they started creating new sites, creating new forums, basically trying to like talk about this feeling. And then the phrase post-Avatar depression syndrome PADS basically came about. Obviously, it's not a real diagnosis, but a lot of people were saying it's obviously very real, this sensation. I mean, anything that I think brings up suicide ideation to people and feelings of dissociation are very real, regardless of the reason why they're experiencing them. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting because as I was on this Discord, one of course, the like popular, probably very active channel on here is the anti-Avatar hate thread, which is basically people who are constantly posting, people like us who shit on this movie for hours at a time and spend a long time reading, replying, hate watching, and critiquing it back and forth,
yeah,
trying to defend themselves with this movie as a community together,
yeah,
which is nothing new.
Common fan behavior.
Yeah, common fan behavior, of course. But I thought it was just really interesting that, like, I don't know, we talk so much throughout the series about James Cameron's, like, very, I don't know, like, myopic, narrow, like, what feels just genuinely, like, ignorant view of everything going on with, yeah, indigenous rights and indigenous culture and the way that is represented in this film. And yet so many people are so easily able to just like quickly immerse themselves in it and, yeah, feel like it's fully realized and real and so overwhelming that it, well, takes them out of what they're experiencing today.
I mean, just to get a little into this, how the sausage is made, like, okay, how do I say this? A lot of the news that we hear about that becomes something that the New York Times writes about, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is like propagandistic and motivated by personal bias, especially more recently towards trans people. But like, there is an adage in society that, you know, I mean, within journalist communities that, you know, like, it's not very interesting when the dog wags its tail, but it is very interesting when the tail wags the dog, or like, you know, when man bites dog, because like dog biting man is like a pretty run of the mill story, right? Like, we publish those, but those aren't the stories that are going to get people talking, right? Because, mm-hmm, like, oh, a dog bit a guy. Wow. Happens every day. But a guy getting on all fours and biting a dog is, like, exceptional. That's something that's going to get people talking, right? So, like, I do think that the PADS phenomenon is only written about because it is in connection to, like, arguably one of the most successful movies ever made, mm-hmm, as like a solo venture, like, mm-hmm, solo venture meaning like it was like a new movie, it wasn't based on anything, it was like one guy's brain, it wasn't like source material, there was no existing fandom going into, yeah, it besides I guess just like people who like James Cameron movies. And so then suddenly it was like this really big thing, and it had all this technology applied to it, and it had all these innovations in the movie making business, and it had broken these like ridiculous records. And so when people start talking about it and it's like blue aliens and they have sex with their hair brain tentacles, like, you know, there was a lot exceptional to the story, right? But like, I don't think that the story itself of like people being immersed in a fictional world is necessarily noteworthy at all and can be applied to like basically any popular franchise. I mean, right, like, I'm going to be rude, but I say this with love because I was this person. Okay. As a mentally ill gay adolescent, I drew Sonic the Hedgehog fan art and would get cripplingly depressed as a kid, uh-huh, because I wasn't Sonic the Hedgehog and I couldn't like go fast, right? Like, I would watch
everything.
Naruto, and, mm-hmm, then I would like draw like characters of myself, but like with different like village headbands, right? Like,
yes,
as I was like, I mean, actually, I'm not from the village of belief. Like, I'm the village hidden in the rain, right? Like, and like draw your character. And then you would do the jutsu with your hands and you'd be like, this is the time it's going to work, right? Like, this is the time I'm going to make a triangle and a fireball is going to come out.
I
right?
mean, it's no different than when the girls were doing the sharp teeth and the little blood on the mouth for like during the Twilight
or,
era.
Or like when people would pick up a stick and say Wingardium Leviosa, yeah, exactly, to each other, yeah, and think that they were going to make things float, mm-hmm, right? Like,
granted, this was when we were in like middle school. These are like,
no, but what
12,
I'm,
30 year
but
old
what
adults.
I'm saying, no, no, yeah, but listen,
of course,
listen,
of course.
We know that that already happens with media, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this in a negative way, but we know that if the kids are doing it, the adults are certainly doing it. The brony fandom is a documented thing, right?
Oh, God,
but we also have people who have literally basically abandoned real life and have just like professionally lived in Breath of the Wild or Stardew Valley or Animal Crossing. If we're talking about things that are more contemporary,
yes,
people who have basically abandoned all like physical social relations.
I've been there.
And
been
live to Animal Crossing in Island. World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Or more currently Genshin Impact, right? Yeah. Who like have completely lost themselves in a non-real world.
Yes.
But, and I'm not saying that you can't make real connections in that, right? Like I have friends that I made playing a massive multiplayer online role-playing game.
Yes.
Who I text and like have hung out with, right? Like we have a bunch of friends from Twitter. It's really not that different. But I'm just saying like it's interesting that the Avatar thing specifically gets written about. Like it is the very first thing in the history of ever to have people depressed because they don't live in Avatar, right? Because
it sells also the movie, right?
Yeah,
it sells what James Cameron's ultimate
people
goal is.
People go like,
he says before, it's supposed to be like you're living in a dream. That's what he says.
How am I
going to
say this nicely?
You don't have to say it nicely.
You don't think James Cameron's people on that first movie weren't sending out the experts to emails of all the journalists?
There were
saying,
lots
like,
of controversy about
like,
that at the time.
People
as well.
Are experiencing depression. Right? Like, let's write about it. We have a psychologist you can talk to. You don't think that, I mean, if it was a completely spontaneous thing, you don't think the studio tried to capitalize on that at all? That it wasn't like a big deal for them that people were doing this because then it was driving, like, people, you have to see the movie that's making people depressed, right? World of Warcraft
well,
and
I think
Blizzard
it's like,
Entertainment have relied on that kind of marketing strategy about World of Warcraft forever.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think it's mutually beneficial regardless
Absolutely.
Of their involvement in it. But I think it also does do, like you just said, that ability to sell the film and to sell like a reason to go see it.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's also like kind of a part of it, I think early on, especially the reporting was kind of like a, you know, I don't, what's the word to say it? Kind of like looking at all the dumb people that fell for it, you know, like that was the take
gawking.
For a lot of people as well as the gawking. Yeah. Like, look, I can't believe
look at
they
the
found
zoo
this.
Animals
yeah.
that we've like corralled up for this New York Post story.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Which is why I was saying, at least with the how-to episode with John Wilson, I was happy to see that it was like very much humanizing the people involved. And I think in this story, at least the ones that have been happening more recently, the coverage has definitely shifted to a better light, in the last 10 years. But the kind of way this piece ends in a way that you'll see a lot of people now, like it just in the episode How To as well, after 10 years of the film coming out, which maybe was a good thing, these people found out kind of how to treat their mental health, how to go outside more, how to make friends outside of this community.
100%.
And also just find like solace in the world they're currently living in.
I'm not trying to make fun of people in any way, shape, or form with what I'm about to say, but when people write stories like this, it does just like read to me as someone who's never been on the internet before, because I'm like, huh, that this is new behavior for you, that this is like noteworthy, that some people are convinced that they're avatars, right? Because you've obviously never worked in a retail job where once a year the local anime convention caused every
mama.
Single surface in your store to get covered in gray body paint because a bunch of 20-somethings that didn't wear deodorant most of the time had painted themselves to look like the trolls in Homestuck. And you've just obviously never had somebody in a pink wig hand you $15 for a pack of Trader Joe's nuts and a sparkling water and say, "Here you go, cashier-kun."
I'm so horrified knowing that this is not anything but a reality that you experienced for many years.
Yes.
R.I.P. to anyone that
and did I
was
get
working
off,
in that hotel that
did
we
did I
know.
Get off that job and help a man get into Danganronpa cosplay? Absolutely. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I painted those eyebrows on and I said, this is a coherent life choice that I have made. I went as Marceline from Adventure Time.
Did you really?
Yeah, 100%. That was like my go-to cosplay was Marceline.
I mean,
because it was easy, because it was jeans, t-shirt, flannel, and a guitar.
It works.
And a long black wig.
Yeah.
It was really easy.
We love that.
Dad, why did you eat my fries? Jake, why did you get our planet blown up?
But I think, like, it kind of also, the funny thing that's, like, a common thread with, like, these people that are really deep into the Avatar movies is for a lot of, there's a whole group of people that have become kind of depressed or, like, woken up from, like, the actual concept of, like, colonialization and environmental destruction. But, like, to be fair, have we not all have also had a film, albeit probably a better one, that has made us kind of have to confront that at a higher level than we were before? When we were younger, so. Let's say, especially.
I'm not moved by movies.
That's why you went to study film.
I've never...
You're like, this shit is dumb.
I've never been affected by a movie, not once in my whole life.
That's actually really upsetting if that's true.
I'm obviously joking, you asshole.
I don't know. It's hard to tell with this attitude.
I've literally based my entire personality about Showgirls, okay, and Coyote Ugly.
Oh my God. It's so funny you said that. I found the old rip I had of that movie just today. I found an old hard drive with like 180 movies, and I was scrolling through and there was
Showgirls. A gay guy with a torrented copy of Showgirls on his computer. How original.
You can say this about really anything.
No, I literally could. No, by the way, guys, don't tell people about Coyote Ugly because it has not yet reached Josie and the Pussycats kind of level of infamy on the internet where it's like, oh, wow, girl with pronouns and gay guy talking about Josie and the Pussycats being good. How original, right? Like, don't tell people about Coyote Ugly because I still need to maintain some kind of indie cred with the youth.
And that's gatekeeping.
That's gatekeeping.
And that's on gatekeeping.
That's gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Me like walking up to like random groups of like teens and college students. Hey, have you guys heard of Nowhere? Hey, have you guys watched The Doom Generation?
I mean, someone has to.
Someone has to. Okay, what else? Oh, have you thought about Avatar at all since we like I mean, besides doing the notes, like,
oh, I'm not gonna lie, ever since we did part one, I've like popped right out of my head, like 99 until I had to do these
notes. I
just
wanted to know because, like, I have a question for you because I unfortunately have been thinking about it. It's been stewing, and you know what? My maybe number one takeaway from the last episode is okay. There is varying levels of cultural ubiquity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I would say at the bedrock of culture is like gay teenagers with pronouns in like furry costumes making like original TikTok dances or whatever the fuck, right?
We're starting there.
Okay, that's the bedrock of culture. Okay.
I mean, arguably, yes.
Yeah, arguably. A step up from that was like Gaia online forums.
Okay.
Okay. Step up from that is like...
Your take from Avatar.
Yeah. No. Step up from that is like Discord servers. Okay. We're going the way the culture disseminates.
This is the bottom of the iceberg to the top. I see.
And then we start to breach like mainstream society. Then we have gay girls and gay guys and people with pronouns online.
Okay.
Step up from that is Drag Race. Okay. Drag Race runway. Step up from that is like an insider joke on like, lip sync battle, right? Okay, so then we have lip sync battle. Like, is it going to be a joke on lip sync battle?
Yeah.
And then, like, as far up as we can go in society is
have The Masked Singer
Live with Kelly and Ryan done a bit about it. Okay. SNL is like somewhere between...
Oh, absolutely.
SNL is somewhere between lip sync battle and Kelly and Ryan. Okay?
That makes sense, yeah.
So what I'm saying is, Avatar is like this big movie, right? But where on the cultural ubiquity scale are we in terms of getting a Na'vi costume on the runway on Drag Race?
Oh my God.
Like where are we in that scale? Like, is it almost like reverse ubiquity where like we actually are going to like retrograde the like cultural knowledge of Na'vi until a gay guy like 20 years from now is like, I'm referencing my favorite movie as a kid, Avatar.
It's like that whole thing scientists say where like every 10,000 years the magnetosphere switches, the North Pole becomes South Pole and vice versa. We're getting there.
Absolutely. No, but that's what I'm saying.
And the post-modern
age. Because we've had, like, Marvel references and, like, Sailor Moon. Well, and superheroes anime, are now like superheroes.
Is like as common as like plaid or like any texture and color.
We've had like anime references and like superheroes. We even had like, didn't we have like an anime themed runway at one point?
I think for All Stars. I just rewatched that episode from season 9, working my way back up from the beginning. Where they do that cartoon character with everybody, and it was so horrifying.
No,
so
I know, drag tots.
Yeah, and it was even more horrifying.
That was All Stars 2, wasn't it, or 3?
Well, I'm talking about season 9, actually, where they do the runway challenge with the little like cartoon character they do.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's like clip art level. It's pretty awful. But no.
But what I'm saying is like,
anything subversive.
Where are we on the subversive scale to like getting it on Drag Race? Like, what franchise is going to give us our first drag queen in a Na'vi costume?
I hate it. And it depends how many prosthetics they're going to use, which is going to either make it more terrifying or more terrifying.
Also, like, can I just say like, not to be a bitch, but, like, Sonic the Hedgehog has really been carrying the, like, weird kids with, like, niche interests fandom on its back for, like, almost 20 years now. Because literally, like, kids aren't like, let me draw my original Avatar OC, right? But they'll watch like a one-off CW short and be like, my entire personality now is like, what is the one where it was like summer camp but like death, like fighting? Remember, it came on right as we were teenagers.
Oh,
remember, it was God, like weird CW? It was like, yeah, no, Cartoon Network. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Remember, it was like, they'll just take, like, the most random Toonami short and been like, I have created 47 OCs based on this, like, 3-second clip of animation. But you're not seeing original Na'vi animation OCs. Like, you're not seeing the kids be
I didn't
like,
even know there was an Avatar comic book until I was on that wiki forum. And it was just made from a script that James Cameron didn't get past.
We're gonna talk about the Avatar comic book in the main episode.
Pivotal to some.
No, it's not pivotal, but it's just interesting what it has been used for.
Lord mercy.
Yeah.
Heaven Almighty. Praise Ewa.
Well, we gotta go because we have to get our rest. It's only 2 days until Sugar and Spice's Drag Race. And we have to make sure we're rested.
Was it Connecticut and TikTok's Drag Race featuring Sasha Colby?
Can you believe Ariana Grande got to meet Sasha Colby? She's so lucky.
Blessed.
God bless.
God bless. My main takeaway from this is truly just to quote the Caleb Gallo show, some things that are expensive are worse.
Don't tell them that.
Oh, they're putting so much money into this fucking four and five. Oh my God. Three more movies. Like, we're not even halfway done.
No.
This is going to be like 20 hours of content by the end of it.
Wetting our whistles. That's how the actors warmed up.
I also read there's going to be even more water in the third movie. And I was like,
But aren't there going to be volcanoes?
That's what I said.
Rivers and the volcanoes.
I did read a full, like, I don't know if it was like Vanity Fair Deadline. What was it? It was literally fully just a writer who like came up with the plot based off what we know from the second movie. Like, they just fully wrote out the plot. And I fully read it like 3 times going, is this a leak or is this just made up? And it was made up, but it was so good and so easily predictable. Like, we would have said the same thing. I'm just waiting for that now at this point.
On a dull, dark dock, awaiting the sensation of a short, sharp shock.
I hate you so much. All right, let's get out of here.
Three, two, one. Hi, my name's James Cameron, and I'm wondering whether these Na'vi sucked dick and cock.
Skaze, they're trying to murder me.
Come on, if you know the words, let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.
Here I go. Oh.